word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's program. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to have a very interesting and hopefully not volatile conversation, definitely not volatile, but very enlightening conversation today about the N-word. And we're bringing this up based on an incident that happened not that long ago regarding a super movie star referencing a song by Kanye West and Jay-Z. So we're going to have a deep conversation about that. But right now, we're going to rise to the top. Still I rise. It's Yolanda Adams with a morning inspiration.
But time will heal. Heavy the load, the cross I bear. Lonely the road I try, I dare. Shaken, but here
Yes, love it, love it, love it. Giving you a bit of inspiration. Of course, you always get inspiration on this station, but just to start the day off right. Great music right there. Good morning. Welcome to Praise in the City. Before we get into today's topic, I definitely want to throw you to our Facebook page. We would love for you to like us. Look for us on Facebook. Praise in the City is the name of this show. Hit the like button and feel free to post your comments, your thoughts about the show, and answer any questions that we post there. And also definitely take advantage of the posts that we have up there giving you information about events activities going on in and around the Philadelphia area. So check us out right now. So today is a bit of a controversial topic, and you might say, why are we talking about this on a praise station? But this is something that affects everybody, whether it originates from secular music or not. It is the use of the N-word in music. Now, today's topic stems from an incident that occurred recently where a movie star tweeted a reference to a song called Ends in Paris. And the movie star said Ends in Paris for real, because apparently she was with the artist and in Paris herself. And that sparked some controversy and some newsworthiness. But then it brings about the conversation. Using the N-word in music, is it creative license or a license to desensitize the word? So I'd love to hear your opinion on this, but we have some folks in studio who are definitely going to be here to bring about great conversation on this topic. Let me give you the number so you can call. Using the N-word in music, is it creative? Is it an issue of creative license, or is it a license to desensitize the word? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Joining us in studio is our offsite producer and dear friend to the show, Mr. Donovan West. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. And joining us via the telephone is Ronald Crawford, author of Who's the Best Rapper, Jay-Z, Biggie, or Nas. Welcome, Mr. Crawford.
Good morning. Welcome to you, too.
Not a problem. Let me first ask you both the question that I'm asking the listening audience this morning. Using the N-word in music, is it an issue of creative license, or is it a license to desensitize the word? I'm going to start with you, Mr. Crawford.
It may be, and I say that because I, for one, am a person who understands deep and painful history of the word. Mm-hmm. But I also believe it's just a word. I was reading something about post-blackness. I think Torrey wrote it. And it has something to do with the younger generation not really being connected to the struggle of racial oppression and all that as their ancestors were. So I can kind of see where they don't really get it, or they might be desensitized to it. But I feel the word is just a word, and it depends on the person who's using it, the intentions of that person.
Okay. Donovan, your thoughts?
I mean, again, the history behind it is something that you have to kind of, you know, key in on. The creative use of it, I believe really at the end of the day becomes a casualty to what really is the core. And the core is, you know, not many people know the history of it, the deep-rooted history of it. And without it, at the end of the day, it's similar to, you know, having guns and not necessarily talking about the safety, but talking about, you know, past instances where certain situations and, you know, the proper use of it, so to speak. So I'm looking at it from an educational standpoint, being able to kind of refer to it historically and then be able to, you know, desensitize it, I believe, the proper way, so to speak, you know, where people understand, you know, the right context, so to speak, because, you know, again, if you go to the original, you know, definition of the word and then bring it up to today, it's a little different than how it's used today, very casually. And to some extent, when you say desensitized, you know, I do believe at the end of the day, it also affects us in many other areas, not just in terms of the you know, music and how people may use the word, but also in terms of, you know, socially and the value of the people of which it's usually referred to.
And we bring this here to our praise listeners because, like you mentioned, Donovan, it has a far-reaching effect than just the music. Of course, I'm pretty sure you're not going to hear the N-word in praise music, and if you did, it would definitely be Clutch the Pearls worthy. However, becoming desensitized and then being in the presence of hearing other races mention the word as they relate to a song, or just say, hey, it's just a word, I can say it now, affects us all at the end of the day. So again, just to let you know, this is why we are talking about this here, and just to get your thoughts on it, because it seems like the tide is changing. And when that tide changes, how should you respond, especially if you have a deep-rooted history with the word and you're extremely sensitive to it. And it doesn't matter how old you get or how much the world changes, you're still going to be sensitive to that word. So that is what we're talking about today. Give us a call for your thoughts. Using the N-word in music, is it a issue of creative license or is it a license to desensitize the word? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Mr. Crawford, you wrote this book, and you say it's just a word, but are words ever really just words? I mean, when you think about it, there's words you do and don't say in the presence of certain people. And if that's the case, could words ever just be words?
You made an excellent point about the times that you use words. And African-American culture especially, we developed the ability to code switch. So I can think of the times that I use the word, and there are times when I use the word as a therapist that it may be beneficial towards a clinical intervention, and that's basically because it's the language used by the clients that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't use the word in a professional setting that wasn't clinical. I wouldn't go in an interview and use the word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use the word in front of my daughter, mm-hmm. But I do respect the right of people to engage the way they want. And one of the things, one of the points that I wanted to mention, when slaves became free and cultures started evolving, I believe, and this is just my humble opinion,
mm-hmm.
that cultures developed the ability to attach meanings to words. And I think what happened with the hip-hop culture, and especially because we're talking about music and rap music in particular,
mm-hmm.
that particular culture decided that that word isn't going to represent the pain that it was expressed through my forefathers or grandfathers or whatever. That's not to minimize that our forefathers experienced pain. I acknowledge the deep pain that they went through and the struggle that they went through to change the way that they were treated. But I just believe that the word has a different meaning because the people who use it decided they wanted it not to hurt anymore. So we kind of took the sting away from the word. And I don't know if that's bad.
I don't know that that's good.
Okay.
I'm just saying, because when you do that, then you take it away from everyone. So then if someone of a non-African American background says, well, it's just a word, and they say it, do you really think there's not going to be a fight or some sort of an altercation or some sort of an issue because it's not saying that, okay, it's just a word, we're taking the pain away, and you can say it now too?
Right, and I see your point. I do, and that's part of the struggle. But again, I would go with the intent. Suppose a person that was using the word was biracial, or suppose that person was married to an African-American husband or wife, and you knew that that person wasn't racist. So if that person used the word in a joking context or as a term of endearment, would you be so ready to attack that person? I'm not sure. I would. I'm not sure if I would be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And feel free, listening audience, I know you're like, oh, I got thoughts. Share your thoughts. Feel free to give us a call. Yes, again, a provocative topic, and it does affect us all because we hear the word when we're out in the street or at work. Sometimes you hear it if your children listen to hip-hop music. You often will hear that, and you'll hear references to, oh, it shouldn't be used, this, that, and such. But then again, the first part of my question was, you know, is it an issue of creative license? You know, should... can you really tell somebody you can't say this or you can't say that? So it becomes a tightrope, a tricky situation. However, with that, it is helping to usher in a cultural change, and we all get caught up in that. Donovan, do you have a response to what Mr. Crawford is saying?
I mean, there are a couple of things that are problematic. I mean, let's be real. It is a matter of environment. It is a matter of context. You're exactly right. I mean, there are people of, you know, Hispanic, Asian, white, you know, backgrounds. And, you know, they're in the same space, same environment. They all grew up together and they talk the same and may relate, you know, in many ways, just as if they're all black and using mm-hmm. the word. But, you know, people of those backgrounds need to really understand that it really, you have to be very clear about who you may have a license, I guess, mm-hmm. to have that kind of dialogue, that kind of interaction, for them to just go out and, you know, say you're in, you know, you live in New York and then all of a sudden you mm-hmm. go to, you know, L.A. or something and you're talking and you're just kicking it and you say the word. Mm-hmm. Just understand that there are some ramifications that may come out of that. Is it okay? I don't think it's okay. Am I going to sit here and say that I don't use the word or when I'm around certain, you know, certain teams of people or that it doesn't come out or whatever? No, I'm not going to say that at all. What I am going to say is that at the end of the day, you know, to desensitize it and to, I guess, usher in this culture where the word has less, you know, less of a negative meaning or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure that's really what we're doing. Mm-hmm. When you introduce it in the realm, especially when it's introduced through the tool of media and primarily through, you know, rap and mm-hmm. And that entertainment tool, it's referencing, you know, blacks in most instances negative situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that those who are purchasing the music, which, by the way, the majority are not us, mm-hmm. you know, are not blacks, that they're going to receive it as such, as, mm-hmm. oh, this is positive, they just relate to each other, blah, blah, blah. I think in many ways, you know, it just shows how powerful it is because we're not talking about any negative reference to any other culture.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reference to other cultures mm-hmm. as high and as widespread as it is to the black culture. So I think you really need to take that into consideration.
Yeah. So if this is in effect ushering in a shift in the culture, speaking from a Christian perspective, what do you then do? How do you respond, especially if you have teens or people who are going to be teens soon and this culture is shifting and you're watching the culture shift? How do you address it? How do you handle it? What do you do about it? You can call in and answer that as well. 215-263-1039. We're going to take a break, but do we have time to take our first caller? All right, Larry's giving me the hurry it up. Okay, let's go to line three and speak with Bernard from South Philly. Bernard, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning to you, Tiff, and as well, your guest.
Thank you.
I just want to make a statement in regards to the word N-I-G-G-A versus the word N-I-G-G-E-R. The definition of the words would be very helpful in determining what are you saying. For the most part, there's the word N-I-G-G-E-R, which just means you're just simply ignorant. And then the word N-I-G-G-A is in regards to this is my boy or something. But I would rather not hear the word period, personally. Mm-hmm. But if your guest can just explain the difference of those two words, right?
I'm going to let that be a cliffhanger because we're going to take a break and we're going to let the guest respond to that in just a few minutes. Bernard, thank you for calling in and asking that question. Also, we invite you who are just waking up saying, what in the world are they talking about right now on my Praise Station? Well, it's something that is causing a cultural shift and we're about to be caught up in it. So I want to know, do you think using the N-word in music, clearly secular music, is an issue of creative license or license to desensitize the word? That's the first part of the question. The second is, if this cultural shift is happening, that the word is becoming desensitized, how then do you as a Christian respond, especially if you have young people in your home, in your area who listen to the music? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Praise in the City. We'll return with more conversation after this.
Now, back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to the second half of today's program. A very interesting and it could be a volatile topic. I'm not going to let it get volatile, but today is about the N-word, the use of the N-word in popular secular music and how it could possibly be changing the temperature of the culture and desensitizing the word, where it's okay to say because the word is quote unquote just a word. Joining me in studio is our offsite producer, Mr. Donovan West. Joining us via the telephone is Ronald Crawford, who is the author of the book, Who is the Best Rapper, Jay-Z, Biggie, or Nas? The question to you, my listening audience, is the use of the N-word an issue of creative license, or is it a license to desensitize the word? Second part of the question is, if the use of the word in popular music is changing our culture, how as Christians do you respond, especially if you have younger people around you who are listening to the music? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let's go right to the phones. We have Earlene calling in from North Philadelphia. Earlene, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you? Praise the Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord. Good morning.
My opinion on all this is, I think as a culture, of our culture, I think that we've been called inward back in the day so much that we've taken it and try to make it fun, comedy, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. And I think it's gotten out of hand. I think that we shouldn't use that word in fun or nothing else, because it's offensive to us. I mean, I know it's just a word, but it was used to degrade us, I believe. And that we're never going to be able to live that down, because people still today still use that word.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know? as a Christian, if you are around young people, and whether they're in your home, you're always around young people, how do you respond as the desensitization is happening? How do you respond when people are just kind of shrugging their shoulders at using the word?
I feel as though they're being blind to the fact that, our ancestors had a hard time with this. And I mean, they say they were killed and all that, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And they need to really look up their history and see that this is not nothing to laugh or shrug their shoulders to.
All right. Earlene, thank you so much for your comment. I appreciate you listening this morning.
Okay, God bless. Have a God bless day.
All right, you do the same. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Anthony on line 3, calling in from Trenton, New Jersey. Anthony, good morning. You're live on the air. Anthony?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. Make sure your radio is all the way down, sir.
Okay.
All right, thank you. What's your comment?
What was that?
What is your comment, sir?
My comment is that we as Christians, we're not to compromise with the world. We sit back and we come to the table with things of the world when we're not supposed to. The Bible states to come up from amongst them and be separate. So at the same time, when we say certain things that may offend other people, those are the things that we're not supposed to do, because we're supposed to be the light of the world.
Okay, but this isn't necessarily about us as Christians using the N-word in our music and praise music, but the fact that it's being used and it's being desensitized still affects us, whether we separate or not. It's still around us. And even if you have young people who listen to the music, there's always young people listening to the music. How do you respond when a younger person who is not of African-American descent is saying the word because they hear it in a song and it's just a word? How do you respond?
Like I said, we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be light. So therefore, we don't compromise with that. If the world is doing it, then that's what they're doing. If we're supposed to be role models to the kids. We're not supposed to indulge into that.
Okay.
We're supposed to show them the right way and the way that they're supposed to be.
Okay, I think I get you, but you're losing me a little bit. Because the question is, how do you respond? So you're on a bus, you're minding your business, you're separate, you're in your world, you're not indulging. But you hear a group of non-African Americans using the word, and they're referencing a song in a secular song. And they're using it and they're saying it, and it's cool. How do you respond?
I mean, the way they said it on the radio was that, you're delving with your kids, they're at the table, they may be playing the music. So now we're taking it from just in the community and we're bringing it right into our house.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, and when it's right into it, you can't make anyone else do certain things. I mean, you can influence them, you can speak certain things to them, but your life, your life and what they see and how you are and what comes out your mouth is what they're actually looking at. They can see that.
Okay.
So when they say that this person doesn't say this or this person doesn't say that, or they walk upright, and I know that they don't use profanity or they don't use other words or whatever, then that's being a role model.
Okay.
So they know automatically there's certain things that they should not do.
Okay.
In your house.
I got you. And I'm going to give our panelists a chance to respond. And just as a point of reference, and I'm not saying this because I'm a parent, because I'm so not, but as a former child of someone who is my parent, just because they say it, and just because you have the example in your house doesn't mean that the child won't decide to do it. And that goes for anything. So if they like the music, you might raise them up listening to Hezekiah Walker. But, you know, they might be out there listening to something else because they like it. So just that does happen. It happens all the time. So that's the whole point. You might be the example. You might be separate. You might be listening to that, to Christian music or praise music in your house. It doesn't mean that the child is not going to listen only to praise music. And that is very much true. Okay.
I mean, that's
hold on 1 second before you, I want to give the panelists a chance to respond to this right here.
I mean, I think, you know, right off the bat, you want to, you know, your question, Tiffany, is about how do you respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're on a bus, you're on a train or whatever, you see a bunch of, you know, whether they're young or not, and they're just kind of referencing, you know, the N-word and using it very casually or whatever, or even if, you know, you're somewhere and you're at a party, you know, and everyone's going word for word with, you know, what the song is. And you're looking at every white person's like, go ahead, I dare you. Go ahead and say that part, you know. So, I mean, at the end of the day, what you want to do really is, you know, you mentioned one thing, which is you want to live your life a certain kind of way. Of course, you want to demonstrate that you're separate. You want to go ahead and you want to shatter the stereotype, because for many people, their exposure to the culture is just that. It's through the music, it's through videos, it's blah, blah, blah. So whatever the stereotypical, you know, vision of blacks may be, and also the word, they all kind of meld together. And should they, you know, experience you coming and going, you should definitely demonstrate some kind of difference there in terms of shattering the stereotype. But I mean, a couple of other things you want to do. You want to educate and you want to caution. You know, you want to educate them in terms of, you know, we all got computers. Well, not all of us, but we have access. And so while they're there on Facebook and everything else that they could, how about you look up that word that you're using? You know, how about, you know, you learn the history of it if you don't have the opportunity right in that moment to educate that person, but look it up and see, you know, again, what the origin of what it is that you kind of throw around casually. And also caution and let them know that just because it was said in a song, just because you may have a couple of friends that are okay with it, does not mean it's okay everywhere. And really, you know, uttering it in certain spaces could actually be the difference between life and death. And so you want to caution people on that use, because it's not okay. You know, a small segment, a very small segment of the entertainment world overall, in terms of a global view, has deemed it okay. It does not mean that for the millions that walk this earth, that it's okay with them in terms of you using it.
All right. And I just wanted to say, Anthony, thank you so much for the phone call. We're going to have to let you go on that. But thank you so much. And I appreciate you listening this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Now, bye-bye. Before we go to Brother Lewis, did you want to respond to that?
I sure did. I wanted to say that the way I would respond to it is sort of what we're doing now, and that's just communication. One of the things I wanted to just point out to you listeners was that my profession is a therapist. So one of the skills that I had to learn was to see the good in people despite the behavior. So when I'm dealing with people who have committed crimes, who I may feel certain kind of ways about, I still have to see the good in this person to help this person become the best person that person can be. And the same thing go with the use of language. They might use language that I might not like, and the N-word can be included in that language. But what I do to try to get the healing, and I need to say that the history of pain and the mistreatment and the bigotry and mistreatment of human beings that's associated with the N-word, I get that. And I get that it was traumatic to a group of people. But what I'm interested in doing now is healing from that trauma And in healing from that trauma, you can't run from the use of the certain words or certain feelings. You have to embrace them, which is what I appreciate what we're doing here today. The last thing, one of the things that I see a lot in my practice is the deterioration of the family unit, resulting in generation gaps where these type of problems occur. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why the younger generation don't get all the ramifications of this usage of the N-word is that in a lot of instances, for a lot of different reasons, people, members from the older generation, weren't there to sort of like socialize them. Mm-hmm. And in dealing with children and thus dealing with younger generations, you can't just come in and use correction when they're not behaving right, mm-hmm. or they're not speaking right. You can't just come in out the blue and say, pull your pants up, or don't use the N-word. What's more effective is being in their lives throughout the entirety of their lives, developing relationships with them, mm-hmm. living and providing a positive example. Then they'll sort of listen to you. I believe that's what we sort of have to get to.
And that's what
I try to do daily.
And that's a conversation that could definitely extend for days. Let's try to take and thank you so much for bringing that up. Let's take a few more calls because we only have a few minutes left in the program. Oh, my goodness. All right. So let's go to line four. Brother Lewis is waiting in West Philadelphia. Brother Lewis, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello. Praise the Lord, everyone.
All right. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Hello. What's your comment?
Yes. My comment on the N-word, I'm kind of looking at where did it come from? And I guess by in the book, I could find more information pertaining to that one, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I'm guessing.
So
mm-hmm.
is that in the book, where did it come from? Because I believe it came from our slave masters, you know, he called us that name. And to us, we took that name and we had to go along with it without, you know, stepping towards a slave master, you know, we just took that name. So it was like the scum of the earth, and that's what the slave master was giving it to each other, and it was like a natural thing for them to sit around where they were at and say, yeah, take my end over there. Oh, mm-hmm. my end is at home working, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, you know, it is how they bring it to us. But now look at other cultures, the names that they call other cultures long time ago. I really seldom hear the other cultures mention, you know, the name that they call Caucasian mm-hmm. or Hispanic, the names that they don't like. Mm-hmm. I don't hear that in their, you know.
They're not trying to take the pain away from the word.
Right, right. But mm-hmm. but this is a teaching process because, you know, by learning, by teaching the kids, I'm old school, mm-hmm. and I know that's a word. But if I hear that word, mm-hmm. I know it's directed really, you know, what I do hear is mm-hmm. always directed to the male, not the female. You never heard somebody
interesting
the female, the N-word, unless, you know, it is racial. But mm-hmm. what we do to each other to
it's
to me, when I hear it,
gender.
You know, it's like a, it's like right. when I'm saying the word right.
I'm sorry, Brother Lewis. I'm sorry to rush you, but we literally have 3 minutes left in the program, and I want
okay.
to kind of wrap
okay,
up
so,
real quick.
It's a teaching process, mm-hmm. you know, and we teach our young kids what the word means, same as wearing the pants down and wearing, you know, their words that they say.
All
so
right.
it's a teaching process how we teach. You know, young people bring them up, and if you hear it, you should have pamphlets or more information pertaining to that.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Lewis. I appreciate you coming. All right. Have a good one. We have to bounce out of here, but briefly, a caller asked for you to define the difference between N-I-G-G-E-R and N-I-G-G-A. Is there a difference, or is the N-I-G-G-A just a spelling, a phonetic spelling of the way we say it? Is there actually a difference between the two? Briefly, in 30 seconds, Donovan.
Listen, the A is equivalent to having a soda and say it's diet. You know, it's the soda. At the end of the day, that's really what it is. ER, you know, yes, a reference to someone's mindset. You know, bottom line, it originated from the word negro, which is, you know, it's Spanish. It was Spanish origin. Then they went on to, you know, just define anyone that was not white. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, that was slaves. And then from the slave situation, slaves are ignorant. The word, thus the word is ignorant. It means ignorant. Okay. And then A, which means, oh, that's supposed to be my boy, blah, blah, blah. But people refer to themselves as N-I-G-G-A. So how do you refer to yourself as your boy or whatever? So, again, it's misused. It's supposed to be used from a colloquial standpoint. It's supposed to be lighter. At the end of the day, it still has an origin that is negative. And at the end of the day, you decide how you're going to use it. Bottom line, you got to educate people in terms of the origin, because not everyone receives it as such. And Ronald, to your point in regards to counseling, you know, someone has to be open to the counseling session to begin the healing. You got to engage people. I agree. But for many people, they're not ready to heal yet. Mm-hmm. And everybody has to be on the same page. So you can't have people using the term mm-hmm. if people aren't ready to also engage in that route.
That was way more than 30 seconds. Healing. And I love you for it. That's okay.
Seconds.
So that means, Ronald, you get the last word on this. And I mean 30 seconds, because we got to go. Yes.
I believe just as the word changed, because in the beginning it described the color black and it didn't mean racism and bigotry. Just as slave masters changed it, I believe we changed it with the A, and it's less stinging.
All right. Thank you so much for that wrap up. Much love to you, Ronald. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And of course, as always, my offsite producer in studio today, Mr. Donovan West. Much love going out to you, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. If you'd like to continue this conversation, please like our page on Facebook. Go to Praise in the City on Facebook.com. Hit the like button and tell us what you think of the show. Please don't touch that dial, because Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Bye-bye.